So I just did a recap of the introduction. I'm not going to do it all again. So people that are listening to the audio after the fact, I love you, but just we'll carry on from here. So Joshua chapter 3 is where the word is coming from today. Joshua chapter 3 verses 13 to 17, and it says this. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zartan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. And the Jordan didn't part before the priests walked. Did you notice that? So the Jordan, it wasn't like God did his wonders and then they walked in. God said, nah, get to stepping. And then the miracle unfolded. It's an incredible biblical picture. And it speaks to how we need to live our lives. Not as people who wait for God to move and then we walk in what he's done. But we have faith and trust before it unfolds. Amen? We've got to be people of faith. So most people spend their lives asking God to move. Oh, God, would you do this? God, would you do that? Would you provide this? Could you make a way for that? And we pray things like, well, God, open the door. And sometimes God's saying to us, well, take a step. Don't you love that? We're saying, God, open the door, but God's just sitting there, take a step, trust me, let's go. We pray, God, remove the obstacle. Your word says, move this mountain and have faith like a mustard seed and you'll move it. So move the obstacle, Lord. But God says, we'll walk towards it. I believe when David took out Goliath, he didn't just stand there waiting for the giant to topple over and then claim victory. He was walking, looking the beast in the eye. Today I'm taking you down. He didn't wait for God to do something. He just took a step of faith and trusted God's word. There's usually one thing standing between where you are and where God wants to take you. You know what it is? Actually, doubt is a good word, but the opposite, it's actually faith. You've got to choose to have faith. Now, what is faith? And we've already talked a little around that today as well. We're going to go there today. But here's the first thing that I want to talk about. Miracles begin where comfort ends. Who likes discomfort? Said nobody ever. If there is more waiting for us, then at some point we have to leave where we are. At some point we've got to take steps. So our key passage in Joshua chapter 3 that we just read, Israel wandered for 40 years. The promised land's finally in sight. They can see the goal and they can almost taste it. They can see it across the Jordan River, but the Jordan River is bustling with water. The river's flooded. That's a problem. You know how heavy and big the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord was, and they're carrying that, and there's like so many of them that need to get over the river. So God led them to an obstacle, didn't he? It was right in front of them, this bustling river. What do we do about this? And isn't it interesting that I think sometimes the greatest confirmation that you're heading in the right direction isn't the absence of obstacles. I think if obstacles are in front of you, you're doing something significant for the Lord. Because he doesn't just lead you to a place where it's free and easy and everything's great. I mean, we could go around the room and everyone's probably got a lifelong testimony of, you know, things that they've faced and things that God has led them through. So I believe when you're walking in the will of God, it's the presence of obstacles that confirms, you know what? I'm doing something significant here. You know, sometimes we assume that if life gets difficult, maybe we've missed God. You know, where are you, God, in all of this? But all throughout Scripture, we actually see the opposite. When you look through Scripture, the obstacle was never proof that they're in the wrong place. It was proof they were right where God wanted them. So God gives Joshua an unusual instruction. Not, oh, wait until the water dries up. Wait until harvest season is over. Not, oh, build some boats or build an ark like Noah. He didn't ask him to do that. He didn't say, oh, go find another crossing or find another way. He didn't say that. You know, imagine being one of those priests walking along in the group and you've got the ark on your shoulders and you're looking at the water. Are you serious? Hundreds of thousands of people are standing behind you. The Jordan River's in flood, and I mean, you know what fast-moving flood water can do, right? You know, the whole Queensland, if it's flooded, forget it. That's, I don't know if it's the same in other states, but that's our little catch cry with driving through floodwaters. How many of you see the silly videos on Facebook of people trying to get through and they get swept away in their car? So that's what floodwaters can do. So they're probably thinking, Lord, are you sure? Are you sure we're meant to do this? Because from a human perspective, this makes zero sense. But can I tell you something? Good instructions often don't make sense until after you've obeyed them. We can all look back in hindsight and go, gee, that didn't make sense at the time, but I took a step of faith and I did it anyway, and look what happened. Look what the Lord has done. You know, the miracle wasn't waiting back in the camp of the priests where they last camped. The miracle was right in front of them. And listen carefully to what happened. Joshua 3:13, I think I've got it there again. There. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. That was the word of the Lord. And did you notice? The water didn't stop first. It was all about the feet moving first. You know, the miracle followed their obedience. I wonder how many miracles we pray for while we're waiting for God to move first. Oh, ouch. But it's true. We pray, oh God, if you open the door, I'll walk through it. And God says, walk and I'll open the door. We say, God, if you remove all the risk, I'll trust you. How easy is it to trust when the risk is removed? But God says, trust me and you'll discover that I'm already with you every step you take. See, faith isn't standing safely on the riverbank talking about what God can do. Hey, we believe. Oh, yeah, I believe God can part this water. I believe. Yeah. But are we willing to take a step and put our feet in, get a little wet and dirty? Because miracle happens when comfort ends. The miracle happens when the comfort ends. I'm sure they weren't very comfortable taking a step into that water. I mean, imagine you're standing beside a swimming pool, particularly in a frosty Stanthorpe. Imagine it's cold and there's the pool there. The water looks freezing. That's steaming because it's freezing. It's not hot in the pool, it's cold. And you tell everyone around you, oh, I'm just going to wait till the water warms up a little bit. How many of you know in Stanthorpe you're dreaming? It's nice, especially this time of year. 10 minutes pass, it's still cold. You know, an hour passes, still cold. An hour later, a month later, still cold. Eventually someone says, hey, the only way you're ever going to enjoy the pool is if you stop waiting for the perfect conditions and jump in. Come on, have a nice bath. I think that's how many people live spiritually. Let me explain. Oh, I'm waiting till I feel ready. Who's caught themselves saying that before? Don't put your hand up, because probably many of us. I'm waiting until my finances improve and then I'll start giving. I'm waiting until my confidence grows. I'm waiting until the fear disappears. Come on. But if you wait until fear disappears, you're probably never going to move. Faith isn't the absence of fear. Faith is choosing obedience even when fear is still whispering in your ear. Maybe God's been asking you to take a step. Maybe it's a step to serve for the first time in church. Maybe he's asking you to do that. Maybe it's about forgiving someone. Maybe you've uttered those words, "I'll never forgive whoever that is because of what they did." But maybe God's just waiting for you to take a step towards forgiveness. Maybe it's giving. Maybe it's sharing your faith for the first time with someone. Be bold. Maybe it's praying for someone. And actually, you know, we had a couple of people. I think it was Bo and Trish. Bo came to our healing thing. And I think you might have even shared this when you got up. I can't remember. But how you prayed for someone on Sunday that had, was a toothache or something. Because they were stirred. Bo was stirred after what he heard on the Saturday about healing school and learning about, oh, we can believe for Jesus to heal. It doesn't have to be pastors to pray all the time. Same Jesus that conquered the grave, that power lives in me. And so they were bold and they prayed for this person and they instantly had something shift and happen with their pain. Praise God. How good is that? But maybe it's praying for someone. Maybe it's starting that business that's been in the back of your mind and you just haven't taken that step. Or maybe it's applying for that job. Whatever it is. Maybe it's stepping into the calling that he's been stirring in your heart for a long time. And you've been waiting on the river, waiting for the water to part, and God's been waiting for your feet to move. Don't be that person. These kind of people drive me nuts, and I'm sorry if this is you. But don't be that person that's like, well, when God writes it on the wall or paints it in the clouds or speaks audibly to me, then I might take a step. Come on, don't we have faith enough to trust that if we take a step, God will close the door if it's not right? Because the opposite is true. You're sitting there saying, well, I'll take a step when the door's open. But I believe in a God that will close the door if it's not the way I'm supposed to go. But how do you know if it's not the way you're supposed to go? You give it a go.
Amen.
Be an Aussie for a moment. Can I say this in church? Probably not. Yeah. Have a go, you mum. That's what they say, isn't it?
Yes.
Have a go. Just try. How many of you know if you have a go, it might actually work out well for you? But as long as you keep sitting on the fence and waiting and ruminating and cogitating and whatever else orating, I don't know, just making up words, and if the opportunity passes you by. Steve and Frinny have had on their hearts for ages to open a shop. This isn't just a sudden whimsical, oh, let's do this will be fun. They've wanted to do this for a long time and they're now taking a step of faith. They don't know, there's no guarantees in business, but it's going to be awesome. Because God's blessing is on it. It's going to be a great opening on the 15th of July. Is that right? Yeah, 15th of July. Not far away. 2 weeks. Support the open. But they've taken a step. They could have sat around and waited. Oh, well, we'll just wait for the money to be in the bank. Or we'll just wait for God to, you know, send the email to my inbox with specific instruction. Or, you know, they're taking a step. God never promises to reveal the whole journey either. He just reveals the next step. And then you take that step, he reveals another step. He simply asks us to trust him with the next step. And when you take that step, you'll often discover that God was already making a way anyway. You look back in hindsight and go, yeah, God was with me there, there, and there. All right, here's the next thing. Faith isn't risky when God has spoken. There's no risk. We use the word faith all the time, don't we? We can use it a little loose. You know, I'm believing, I'm standing in faith, I've got faith. But what is faith? And we've touched on it a lot already today, thanks to Jody, but sometimes we reduce faith to positive thinking. It's so much more than that. Faith isn't just thinking, oh yeah, the best is going to come. That's not all it is. We think faith is like convincing ourselves something good's going to happen. But that's not biblical faith. See, biblical faith isn't pretending reality doesn't exist. Hey, we're in a tough economic season right now. But faith doesn't ignore reality. That's not what we're asking you to do. We know it's tough. But faith simply refuses to let what we see become the highest authority. Because it's not. Who's the highest authority? God. Jesus. Faith responds to God's word. Faith is exactly what we see with Peter. You know, the disciples are in the middle of the storm. The wind's howling. Everything looks like crazy. The waves are crashing. And then Jesus comes in walking on the water. what? We read that, but we just imagine if you were there. Imagine the feelings you would have. Like, they thought it was a ghost at first because it's just that freaky that, look at this. And Peter says something fascinating in response to Jesus when he says, come, come out to me. He doesn't say, well, Lord, I'm really feeling confident. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, oh, I think I can do this. He doesn't think, oh, the power of positive thinking. I'm going to get out there. Now, here's what, let's look at Matthew. Chapter 14, verse 28, 29. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Don't miss this. Peter wasn't trusting the water. He was trusting the spoken word. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And then the Lord spoke, come. His faith was in that direction. Not in the water, not in the storm and the waves, not in all of that. The miracle wasn't in Peter, it wasn't in the water. It was in the word of God. And that stirred his faith. That's what faith is. It's not believing that God can, but it's acting because God said. Did you catch that? It's not believing. I'm sure we all believe in Jesus. You wouldn't be in church wasting your time here if you didn't believe in him. If you don't believe in him or you haven't surrendered your life to him, what a great environment to be in to learn about him and do that. But the key is not just believing that God can, but acting because God said. It puts legs on your faith. You might have heard that phrase before. Because now faith isn't built on feelings, because if it was, we're doomed. Who has good days? Be honest, who has good days? Who has not so good days? Yeah. Some of you mustn't have days because you didn't move your hands at all, but that's all right. Some people say, oh, I don't know if I've got enough faith. But I think a better question is, well, what's God already said? What's God already said? Act on that. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how we get faith. We trust in his word. Now, I want to show you, we've got this, I've left this chair up here on purpose. You're probably thinking, why did he take one chair down and not the other chair? It's been sitting there all morning since we interviewed Wayne. And how many of you believe this chair can hold me? Yep. Like if I sit on it, it's going to hold me. Yeah? You don't sound confident. What, you think I'm going to break the chair? The chair can hold me, right? It held me before.
Yeah. So it can do it again.
Yeah, it can do it again. I'll see it when I believe it when I see it. Well, you've seen it already. Now, let me ask you another question. How do you know that? And not just because I sat on it earlier, but how do you know that that chair is going to hold me? Yell it out. It's designed to. What did you say? It's designed to. Designed to. Everyone. Frinny has the best idea. It's designed to. It looks strong, right? It's not one of those. Now, if we were in the Philippines and it was one of those plastic chairs, like what we have out there, except they're 100 years old in the Philippines and brittle and you sit on it and it snaps instantly, I wouldn't be so confident. But this design, look, it's solid wood. It's all good. Chairs are made for sitting, so it's going to hold me. Because we've all sat on chairs before. You're all sitting on chairs now. You're trusting in the chair. Now, watch this. Right now, do I believe the chair is going to hold me? Let me. I've got too many things going on. Do I believe the chair is going to hold me? Well, the answer is, again, if I was in the Philippines, I'd be a little hesitant. But I'm here at Vineyard, and I know this chair is good. And so I know it's going to hold me. But when I sit in the chair, I mean, is my belief affecting anything? I might believe it will hold me. But does that affect whether it will hold me or not? Do you get where I'm going with this? What's the difference? You know, the moment, oh, I swear we should sit when we preach. This is so good. You know, the moment I transferred my weight onto this chair, belief, it's not belief anymore. It's trust, isn't it? I'm trusting that the chair's not going to break. How funny would it have been if it did? That's what you're thinking. I can tell. I'm looking at some of you guys here. That would have been. Anyway, I love you. Yeah.
Can I suggest that's exactly how many Christians live their life? And I don't mean to give you a slap today, but if there's conviction from the Holy Spirit, that's between you and God right now. But, you know, we believe God. We believe his promises are yes and amen. We believe he heals and he provides and God forgives us and, you know, he leads us, he guides us. We believe all of that, right? But we've never actually perhaps transferred the weight of our lives onto him. See, we admire the chair. That's a nice chair. We talk about the chair. You know, it's solid. It's great. We study the chair. Yeah, it looks like it's going to do what it's meant to do. We sing songs about the chair. I'm talking about faith now. You understand? We admire God. We talk about his attributes. We sing praises and worship to him. But we never sit down and let the weight transfer from us to him. We know that if we do, what will happen? We know it, but do we do it? You know, Peter didn't prove his faith while he was stuck in the boat. He proved it when his feet left the boat and stepped on the water. That's when he proved. So maybe God's been saying, and if I sit too long, I'll get way too comfortable. But maybe God's been saying, you know, come. I think I've got a slide for that. There we go. Maybe God's been saying, come. Maybe he's been speaking to you. And he's saying, come and serve, or come and forgive that person, or come and lead, or come and give. He's been calling you. Come and start. Come and step out in faith. Come and trust me. Maybe he's been saying all these things, and you've been asking for another sign. Well, Lord, just show me another sign and I'll do it. Another confirmation, or just give me that feeling again. And you're looking for this feeling or this guarantee before you make a move. Meanwhile, Jesus is still saying exactly what he said to Peter. Come. Just come. Church, you don't need another invitation because you already have one. The question isn't whether Jesus has spoken. The question is, are you ready to get out of the boat and take a step of faith and act on what you believe? Because belief alone isn't just faith. But it's actually the doing, the obedience, the step of obedience. And that brings me to point number three. Obedience often, and this has been so cool because it's been the theme of our giving and everything we've been talking about lately. Obedience often precedes breakthrough. Some of us are looking for the breakthrough before we'll step out and be obedient. But it doesn't work that way. See, there's a pattern throughout the Bible and it's impossible to ignore because God speaks and people obey. You know, then the breakthrough comes. It's a biblical pattern. Let me explain it to you. Sometimes we think breakthrough comes first and then obedience is going to follow, but that's not how it works. God's pattern is usually instruction, obedience, breakthrough. Let me give you some examples. Naaman wanted healing and God told him to go dip in the river 7 times. That sounds dumb. Let's be real. That sounds dumb, doesn't it? Like, what's that going to do? Shouldn't I just clean myself once and be right? But God says dip 7 times in the Jordan. The instruction actually seemed quite bizarre, almost too simple and ordinary perhaps at the time. Maybe too humiliating because he has to get out in public because he's obviously got the leprosy thing going on and that wasn't cool back in the day. You were like scarred and stained for life if you had that. So it could have been embarrassing and humiliating, but you know what? When he obeyed, and he did just as the Lord spoke, healing came. Let me give you another example. The walls of Jericho, they didn't fall because Israel had better weapons. They fell because Israel obeyed an instruction. The instruction was march for 6 days with no sound. Like, what army does that? It's like a silent picture, like motion picture. What impact is that going to have, Lord? But anyway, they followed the instruction 6 times. Then on the 7th time, what did they do? They shouted, they praised, and the walls tumbled down. The widow in 2 Kings, and I've referenced that a little bit in the preaching lately, didn't see the oil multiply while she was worrying. The miracle began as she poured. As she started pouring and she had the empty vessels, she never ran out. Just kept going. Isaac sowed during a famine. We've talked about Isaac a bit lately too. doesn't make sense, but he saw a harvest, even in the midst of famine and drought. You know, human wisdom would have said, wait until conditions improve, man. Get a bit of water, a bit of rain, a bit of something. But God had spoken, and because Isaac obeyed, you know, he reaped in the very season everyone else expected lack. Why? Because he had obedience. He heard an instruction, he went and did it, and the miracle came. Do you see the pattern now? God isn't looking for perfect conditions. Stop waiting for everything to, all your ducks in a row, as they say. Stop waiting for everything to feel like it's right and ready and step out and have a go, you mug. I'm just enjoying saying that in church. God is looking for willing hearts. He wants you to take a step and trust him, because there's a big danger in delay. A big danger in delay. I wonder how many breakthroughs are sitting on the other side of delayed obedience. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm praying about it. When deep down, God's already spoken, and you know it. You've just got to take the step. Sometimes we ask God for another confirmation, another sign, another feeling, but maybe heaven is waiting for us to respond to what God's already said. I sometimes think God's just sitting up there going, seriously, that hurt. I did that really hard. But I think he's sitting up there and just like, how many more signs do you need? Have you not read my word and what I've promised you? And we're down here thinking we're being holy and spiritual. And Lord, I'm just praying and waiting on you. And he's up there going, I'm waiting for you. Take a step. Come on. Delayed obedience often delays your breakthrough. God's told us what to do. Let's make a move. I mean, think about you've been to shopping centres with like these automatic doors. You know, as you walk towards them, they open, right? Usually. No, they usually open because they've got a sensor. They open, right? But if you stand 10 metres away with your arms folded looking at the door and you don't go in until they open, you're never going inside, are you? They're not going to open for you. It's waiting for you to take a step and move towards the doors, right? I know it sounds so obvious and you're like, but that's how we live our lives sometimes. You know, the doors were designed to respond to movement. Now, that's a perfect picture of God in heaven illustrating such an important principle. Just move. Take some steps. God's waiting for us to take the next step that he's already asked us to take, and we're sitting there going, well, I'm just praying and waiting on the Lord. Oh my gosh. You know what? Maybe your next step doesn't have to be dramatic, but maybe it's just a small little act of obedience. Maybe it's having a difficult conversation with someone you've been avoiding. Oh, everyone just went, ooh, that person. Maybe it's, you know, joining a connect group in this church. Come and ask us about them. Find out where your fit is. Maybe it's serving for the first time and we've got that perfect opportunity on 12th of July, I think it is, the volunteer day. If you're not on a roster serving in the life of the church, well, get on it. Serve once a month. We'd love to have you. Come and hear about what's involved with that. Maybe it's starting to give. We've rattled some cages in the last few months because we're believing for financial breakthrough. May, June, July, we declared would be supernatural season for finances in our church. So we have 1 month to go. And July is really important because it's first fruits time. And you've been part of this church long enough, you know, in July we bring a first fruits offering. Now, what does that look like? I'm not going to tell you because that's not my job. My job is to tell you to talk to God. And maybe he'll say, give up a day's wage. Give up a week's wage, whatever it is. We've had people give up a month's wage before. Blew my socks off. I was so blessed by their faithfulness. I'm not saying you have to do that, but I'm saying you need to talk to God about it. Let's start the new financial year putting God first, bringing the first of our increase. Maybe it's inviting someone to church. Maybe you're being too politically correct and, oh, I don't want to ruffle their feathers or upset them. Or no, just invite them. One of two things will happen. They might say yes. Wow. Well, they might say no. Oh, well. Next time.
Not yet.
Not yet. No is not no forever. That's exactly right. It's a not yet. Maybe it's praying with someone or forgiving someone. I don't know what step you need to take. Maybe it's, God, I'm going to read my Bible consistently now. Maybe it's that. But sometimes we miss the extraordinary. I think it was. Sometimes we miss the extraordinary because we're overlooking the ordinary act of obedience that's right in front of us. It doesn't have to be extravagant, huge, massive. Just take that step. Action on your faith. You know, as we've been saying throughout this entire series, there is more. There is more than your current circumstances. There is more in you than you realize. But today, here's what we're discovering. There's more often waiting on the other side of your next step of obedience. So don't underestimate the power of a simple yes to God. Whatever he's asking you to do, just say yes. Because throughout Scripture, breakthrough, it wasn't usually reserved for the gifted people. You know, the people with all the talent or the people with all the money or the people, whatever. It was experienced by those who were simply willing to obey. Come on, are we willing to take a step of faith, whatever that step is for you, and trust the Lord? Here's my last point as I come to a close. Your next step can change everything. When we're obedient to what God is asking us to do, when we take that step, you know, sometimes we overcomplicate following God, I think. We just make it trickier than what it needs to be. We think we need to know every detail before we move. Who's a details person? It's okay if you are. You're not sinful. You just like the details. You like the blueprint, the roadmap. It's all listed out and you follow step by step. That's okay. But sometimes we can get bound up in that and we want to know all of that before we take the step, because there's that sense of comfort when I know every single possible outcome that could... Come on, let's not go there. Let's be people that just take a step of faith. We don't need the full roadmap, the five-year plan, every answer, every outcome, because that's rarely how God works. Have you noticed that? As much as we long for that, if we're that kind of person, God rarely works that way. He simply says, what does he say? It's two letters in one word, go. That's what he says. Go. When Jesus called the disciples, he didn't explain every miracle, every storm, every trial, everything they were going to encounter. He didn't talk about the cross. He just said, follow me. And they discovered the journey one step at a time. Church, God usually gives us enough light for the next step, not the next 100 steps. Although that would be nice, but doesn't work that way. Psalm 119. Psalm. Maybe I want salami for lunch. Psalm. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Notice what the psalmist doesn't say. The psalmist doesn't say God's word is a floodlight showing every kilometer ahead. It doesn't say that, does it? It's a lamp, and in Bible times, a lamp illuminated only a few steps in front of you so you could see where to go next. So there's enough light so that you can keep moving, you can keep trusting, you can keep obeying by just taking one step. God isn't asking you to figure out your entire future today and your 5, 10, 20-year plan. But he's simply asking you to take whatever the next step is for you. You know, imagine climbing a mountain at sunrise. You don't necessarily need to see the entire trail. It's different if we're climbing like how you climbed and explained last week. You do want to see and work your way back like you said. But in this example, literally you can only see just enough for your next few steps. And that's okay. Can you climb the mountain? Yes, you can. Do you know the whole pathway? No, you don't. But we just keep taking one step, one step. You simply need enough light for your next step. And as you keep walking, more of the path becomes visible because the sun's coming up. Eventually shines light on the whole journey. See, obedience today creates clarity for tomorrow. If you're confused about what your next journey is or what your next season, just take a step and trust God. If it's not the right journey for you, he's going to shut it down. Do you trust him enough for that? Yeah. Come on, let's not wait for it all to line up and all to be perfect. You know, many people are asking God for clarity these days. I want clarity because I'm confused. I've got this option and this option and so many options, Lord, and I just need clarity from you. But you know what? God's just asking for obedience from you. Take a step in faith. Trust God that if it's not right, he'll direct your path. Maybe your next step is incredibly simple. Maybe it's finally saying yes to serving on our roster. Maybe it's finally stepping in and deciding as a family we're going to give of our first 10% to God because we're just going to do that from now on. Maybe it's trusting God with, you know, a workmate relationship where you're trying to lead them to the Lord and you just don't know the right words. Maybe it's taking a step and going, God, I'm just going to go out there and just say something and just see where that leads us. You know, maybe it's starting the ministry that God's placed in your heart. Maybe it's simply praying again after disappointment. Come on, we've all encountered disappointment, and man, it's hard. Jody walked into the room. I don't mind saying this because she's already shared it with you, but she'd had a storm up until the start of this morning, like just really stretched, challenged over a number of different things. But man, the minute we started singing and practicing for preparation for the service, she just changed. One day in your courts, Lord, is better than 1,000 anywhere else. Get into God's presence. Seek him first. His word is a lamp unto our feet and will guide us and lead us along the right path. Don't underestimate the power of one step, because on the other side of your obedience, breakthrough is coming, friend. One step led Israel into the promised land. One step led Abraham into his calling, and your next step could become the beginning of a whole new season for you. But it's on the back end of the next faithful step. God really asks for giant leaps. Who are the people that like to race ahead and, you know, that's your personality. So you like to like speed ahead and get it done quickly so you can get there faster. I mean, that's okay. Again, you don't have to, you're not in trouble. Those kind of people love the giant leaps because like, come on, let's go. But it doesn't have to be giant leaps. God simply just asks for the next faithful step. What is your next step? So as we come to the end of this series, I want you to think about what we've traveled together in this journey, because I hope it's stirred you. Do you feel stirred? I hope it's stirred you, because in the first message we discovered there's more than this. This is not the end of your story where you are right now. There is so much more ahead of you. Imagine, Trish, if you settled for where you were at 5-10 years ago and you thought, well, this is my story and that's it. Imagine that. How depressing would that have been?
Wow.
But look at what the Lord has done, and praise God for you, Wayne, and thanks again for sharing this morning, to see the breakthrough in your life and what God's done in your heart and to lead you to where you are now. Imagine if we settled 10 years ago with, well, Wayne's just always going to be like that. Praise God that wasn't the end of your story. And even where you're at now, this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm going to prophesy that over you. You're going to be a man of God.
Yeah.
There are going to be people in the spheres that, yeah, there aren't kids in here, there's still a few little kids. Spheres that you were exposed to, you're going to be a light shining in that darkness. And you're going to just be like that person that's standing on the edge of the pit of fire that people are going to, you know, that's where their eternity is. And you're going to be just doing this. You're going to be lifting them out, but with a sense of urgency, because they need Jesus. And you have encountered him, and you know what it means to have had that change and transformation in your heart. And you are going to be someone that is just a rescuer. And you're going to see so many people come to the Lord because of your story and what he does through you. Your current season is not your final destination. God's got so much more for your life than what you're experiencing today. And then last time was there's more in you. God's put it in you. It was there already, Wayne. I don't keep picking on Wayne, but it's been what you're experiencing now has been in you since way back when. But finally it's become awakened and you understand that. God's already placed gifts, purpose, faith, potential inside each and every one of you. And perhaps you've been overlooking it because you've, I don't know, doubted yourself or felt, well, God can't use me or whatever. Well, today we've discovered something just as important, that there is more waiting for you on the other side of obedience. I wonder what God could do through a church that simply says yes. Can you imagine if there was a church in Stanthorpe where every single person just said yes? And not because we understand everything or we have every answer or have it all together. We don't. But because we've decided to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on our own understanding. Can you imagine what God might do if everyone just took one step today? It would be incredible. So what's your next step? Not someone else's, but what's yours? That's what I want you to hone in on as I bring this to a close, because your next step may become someone else's miracle. And God's just waiting for you to take that faithful, obedient step to unlock something in someone else's world. Your obedience may become your family's breakthrough that you've been waiting for. Your faith may inspire someone else to believe again. Your yes may open a door that changes generations. Come on, let's not discount small beginnings. What one little step could do. So don't stay standing on the riverbank waiting for the water to part before you put your little toe in. Don't wait for perfect conditions, but take that step. Trust the one who called you and discover what he can do on the other side of your obedience. So I want to declare this over you today. Would you stand with me this morning? Alison, do you want to come and tickle the ivories for me? I don't know, just play anything that sounds nice. I think it's turned on. I want to declare this over you today. If you're online, I'm declaring this over you in your home. Maybe just reach out your hands towards God in front of you, lift them up, whatever, as if you're receiving. Because I want to declare this over you today. I want you to receive something today. I want you to leave transformed, not just with a bunch of information that I've shared. I mean, I pray it was inspirational and you've been encouraged, but my biggest prayer is that you go and take action from today, that you take your next step. And don't just think, oh, that was a bunch of nice information, great message, Pastor J, that's what Trish calls me, PJ, whatever, Pastor Jeremy, I really loved that. But no, I want you to be not just filled with information, but transformation today. And it comes from the Holy Spirit. So reach out your hands. I'm going to declare this over you. We will not be held back by fear. Come on, some of you have been held back far too long because you're afraid of what comes next. We will not be paralyzed by uncertainty. Everything doesn't need to be perfect before we take a step. We will not wait for perfect conditions before obeying God. Not anymore. We're going to trust that the Lord is opening up a pathway for us because we will trust his word. We will take the next step because we're encouraged by his word. We will walk by faith and not by sight. Not what we see, but what we know to be true. And as we do, we believe that there is more. Say it with me. There is more. Say it with conviction. There is more. There's more lives to be saved. There's more people to be healed. There's more families to be restored. There's more hearts that need to be set free. There's more provision. There's more purpose. There's more of the presence of God in our lives, our home, and our church, because our best days are not behind us. They're ahead of us, and they're on the other side of our next step of obedience. So Jesus, help us to take that step today by the grace of God. Give us the wisdom. Help us. Give us the motivation. Give us that inner instinct that we've just got to keep taking a step, because there is more ahead for each and every one of us. And we claim it right now in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. Amen, and give him praise and thank you, because he's good.